Live from the Las Vegas Suns podcast studio, this is Prep Sports Now with award-winning journalist, high school football expert, Ray Brewer, and the not-so-heralded host, Case Kiefer. Ray, beautiful Monday. How are you feeling?
Beautiful Monday. Not-so-heralded. However, it appears your levels are higher than mine. To be announced if it'll be that way this week. But
look when I talk how high it goes. And when
you just
talk,
have that
so
deep
low.
Manly voice because you played football. And as Guru pointed out last week, I only played football, soccer. So apparently you're more manly than I am.
Yeah, for the record, we've looked into the levels problem, but this podcast studio, I think, was built maybe like 4 years ago, and everyone that was involved is gone. So now even the IT department is like, we don't know how to work this equipment. Sorry if your levels are messed up.
Yeah, it's like we're Boy Scouts out in the forest trying to build a fire with two sticks.
You mentioned Guru. I got to mention, we set a career high with this podcast listens last week. I'd like to think it's all because of us, but I think I got to give some of the credit to Tua's dad, who is basically live blogging the Arborview Gorman JV game. So I think people are coming to check that out.
Does that JV victory by Arborview give you hope that maybe somebody will beat Gorman sometime in the next 5 years?
I don't know, because when I was watching the varsity game, which we'll get to, we're definitely going to talk about, I think there were like three or four Gorman sophomores that I was like, wow, these kids are good. I mean, Nathan Starks, of course, is one of them.
Might be one of the top 10 sophomores in the nation.
Yeah, and I can't remember that the other two. Do they have a sophomore receiver that might have got in late? He was really fast, looked good, and then they had a couple guys on defense that were young, and I was like, wow, okay. I don't think the JV matters that much.
Because I'm thinking, you know, Tua's dad and some others are like, oh, Arborview 18, Gorman 14 on the JV level. But what they fail to realize is that Gorman starts five sophomores on varsity.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's what I found out on Friday night.
It's just like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, Rancho's JV was undefeated, and so was Vegas's JV undefeated. And they were thinking, wow, you know what? In 2 years, this group of seniors has got a chance to win the bone game. Well, they forgot that Pharrell Victor and Hassan Henderson were on the varsity.
Yeah, I mean, it's not always that simple, I think is what we're trying to say. But we'll get to all that. We're going to talk a lot about Gorman, and we're going to bring back the popular segment. Last week, Brewer brought you his random observations from a game. This week, I'm going to bring you my random observations from Gorman. But first of all, first things first, big week for the playoffs here. Playoff implications and games spread throughout. Northeast and Southeast division crowns are up for grabs, as are a few playoff spots.
They are. Let's start in the Northeast. Vegas and Canyon both undefeated going into the final regular season game at Canyon this year. Winner gets the one seed in the playoff. Loser gets the two. Both are hosting playoff games. Both are the class of the Northeast. I think that, in my humble opinion, which I give out frequently, that Canyon Springs is probably a year away, but after they lose this week, it'll be their league for the next 2 or 3 years.
Remember at the beginning of the year in this very room, I said Canyon Springs was going to beat Vegas this week. They're both going to be undefeated in the league, and Canyon Springs was going to win.
Are you sticking
to After Canyon Springs started 0-2, remember exactly what I said? It's played out like this, right?
Are you sticking to the pick?
Absolutely not. Okay. I'm off the bandwagon.
That would have been our $5 pick. I would have been off.
Yeah, no, that's not going to be our $5 pick. I mean, we're going to get to our picks, but I guess I'll spoil that one. I just think Las Vegas has been even better than I thought this year, and Canyon has been maybe a little bit more slow developing.
Okay, and I'll talk about Vegas later, but I'm very impressed right now. I'm on the Vegas wagon right now.
Right. And of course, in the Southeast.
Well, hold on. We don't care about DP. We don't care about DP. Well, who could very easily be in the semis.
Well, here's what I was going to do. I was going to go the championship game, and then get to all the other jibber jabber.
All
right.
So
the other crown up for grabs is the Southeast, right? Foothill and Liberty. I think this is the second straight year they've played at the end of the season with the conference title up for grabs.
They have, and you got to give. Got to give Liberty a lot of credit. They find ways to win. It wasn't pretty last week against your Coronado Cougars, but they prevailed in a close game, and now they play Foothill for the league title, and the winner of this game gets home field throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, that's big.
That's a big win. Back to the Northeast, DP, Rancho, Valley, all knotted up, same records, all have real easy games. Well, not really. DPP Shap W. Rancho hooks up with L Dog, and I actually like L Dog to win.
Wow.
And so basically, we got three teams fighting for two spots. If DP wins, based on some tiebreaker system that you need a calculator and a math degree from Harvard.
Sundial.
Yeah. To figure out, DP would get the three, and whoever's the two, I'm picking DP, just to let you know.
Why?
I just think.
Yeah, I heard you yelling in the office today something about how Desert Pines is going to go to the state championship or something like that.
I won't say that, but I think DP's got some swagger, and they're just going to go wherever they got to go, and they're going to win, especially if – if Liberty beats Foothill and Green Valley beats Silverado, Green Valley will get the two. And I think DP goes into Green Valley and rolls them. No question about it. Rock and roll all the way.
I know Green Valley is great and they beat Foothill and everything, but I actually do agree with one of your points. If I'm Desert Pines, I would rather go play Green Valley than Foothill.
I'd love to play Green Valley.
I don't think that they would beat Foothill. I don't think they'll beat Green Valley either, but I think they have a chance against Green Valley. I think Green Valley's offense, have seen more. I mean, Foothill's going to line it up and throw it at them. How many games has Desert Pines been where teams throwing that much at them?
Well, I mean, that's true. All I know is that in the playoffs, it's a whole different animal. You got to run the rock. You got to control the clock. You got to be aggressive. And then all of a sudden, each team's got about two or three kids you've never seen before, because that's when the 9 weeks are up and new kids are eligible. And I think that DP, you got to remember, Case, the Northeast, way more athletic than the Southeast. Just letting you know. Just letting you know.
See, I think this is something that is still somewhat true, but I think it was extremely true like 5 years ago. I think the Southeast is catching up.
Ago.
I think the Southeast is catching up from what I've seen.
I don't think the Southeast is this great league this year.
Well, it's not great, but I think it's second best easily.
To who?
To the Northwest. I mean, look at the best.
Northwest, I think, is great.
Yeah, Northwest by far the best. And then Southeast second. I think I've used this example on the podcast, but just look at who Moapa Valley has played. They are in a shootout with Legacy. Legacy's the sixth best team in that league, and Legacy beats them. They go play Silverado and Del Sol, and they blow out both of them. There's like the fifth or sixth best teams in
that
league.
That's a great point. Case Kiefer. Unheralded.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Case, you were at the Gorman Arborview game. I proclaimed Gorman by more than 40. You thought I'd be wrong. A lot of people out there, haters, thought that the 40 was too much. I had about 9 people reach out to me wanting a $5 bet. I'd have been up $50 if I would have taken everybody.
If it was only 9, you'd only be up 45,
well,
but
five.
That's okay.
You're 5.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
On. So I got the math, right? All right. So Gorman rocks and rolls. No doubt about it. The whole world's on notice. We all thought that if Arbor could keep it close, then Palo could keep it close because Palo beat Arbor by 7. Does this mean Gorman's won state that Palo's not got a chance now? I hate to look this far ahead.
Yeah, I don't see anyone beating Gorman. I said it at the beginning of the year, and I'll say it again. Even Palo, even Arborview. I mean, if Gorman doesn't win all these games by at least 28 points, I'll be very surprised. And that 28 points, I'd be being generous.
Okay. I mean, break the game down for me. Was Gorman just dominant from start to finish? You know, or is there anything where Arborview could kind of hang its hat and say, well, if this would have happened, it would have been closer and we could have won?
Yeah, well, maybe not could have won, but been closer, I think, for sure. I mean, they actually threw the ball okay. Their only touchdown came on a passing play from brother to brother in the second half. They went with a new quarterback. But also, in the first half, they actually had some chances to complete some passes, but their receivers were dropping balls. I think they had like 3 drop balls. The thing was that he was throwing them high a lot, the quarterback, the Hoffman kid, but I couldn't blame him for throwing them high. He's got Ronnie Stanley and these guys in his face every time he drops back. I think if you're playing a team like Gorman, you get the ball out quick, you throw it, and you know, if it's a little off, you got to count on your receivers to get to it. So, I mean, a lot of balls off the hands. As far as the double wing, Gorman had it down. Really, I don't think they gave up very much to kind of the skill guys, Eason and all those guys, Gaskin, whoever else. But the most success running the ball they had was kind of the same thing they did against Liberty. They just did that fullback dive with Rodriguez. I think he got at least 3 or 4 yards every time. So if I'm playing Gorman again, my game plan is when we run the ball, we're going to run Rodriguez more than anything, and then everything else is going to be like a two-step drop and throw the ball out. Because I think that personally, I don't think you're going to beat them anyway, but I think those are the two ways that they found the most success in.
Well, your only way to beat Gorman is to keep the offense off the field. And that's where I think Paolo and Arbor, because they run the ball, they got a chance to kind of control the clock. You see the USC-Notre Dame game at all?
I didn't actually watch it.
Okay.
But
anyways, USC goes on like these 7-8 minute drives against Notre Dame. They keep Notre Dame off the field. They get some momentum and they win. I just think with Gorman is that they were so ready for this game. Like, they treated this game like it was Armwood or like it was Servite, but it was Arborview. And Arborview just wasn't ready for that spotlight to take that big game.
Right.
And, you know, and I read it, you know, I think Tony Sanchez had a quote in your story about like, this was every bit as important as Armwood or Servite at the bottom of your story, right?
I don't actually remember writing that, but it could be true.
Well, when I read it,
I'm sure.
I mean, but what I'm saying is that
they were fired up, definitely.
They were just ready to go. And if you get Gorman on its A game, this is what's going to happen. You know, Gorman, to their credit, has never played down to anybody that I've seen. I mean, you could easily, you know, not get ready to play, you know, when you got to play, oh, great, we got Clark tonight or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it. They've never played down to an opponent, and they treated Arborview like they were playing for the national title.
Yeah, especially not this year. I mean, I think that the guys have gotten, you know, a year older, and that's part of the reason that they're an even better team this year. But, I mean, last year, you know, we do these phoners. Sometimes you call a coach, and Tony Sanchez last year would say, oh, we might have put up this big score, but we didn't play well. We weren't focused. He hasn't said that one week this year. Every week it's been great focus, great preparation. We played wonderful. I don't think he uses the word wonderful, but you know what I mean? I think that they have been maybe more consistent, even though you can't tell by the scores one way or the other.
Well, they were wonderful. They beat Arborview. To me, I think they got a few roadblocks in the way, Kiefer, and I'm going to segue here. Segue is like a bridge from one topic to the next. Palo Verde, I think, is definitely going to be a game just because it's Palo Gorman, the rivalry. And then the winner of that game would play the winner of the Sunrise Region Championship game.
Name the Liberty Patriots.
No way.
Yes.
No way. It's going to be Vegas. I'm telling you, I was wrong last year, but there is no way Vegas loses this year to Liberty.
I'll say this. They won't lose as bad.
Nope.
But they still are not. You didn't see that game last year. They could not move the ball. They couldn't move the ball at all.
I think they didn't get a first down to the third quarter. They quit last year. You talked to Henderson and Victor, H squared and Cinco, and they will both tell you that they quit. The team quit last year against Liberty. They got smacked in the mouth. They didn't know how. I had Liberty so fired up to play that game that they came out and they smacked those guys in the mouth, and they ran back into their hole, and they couldn't figure it out.
Sounds like a convenient excuse to me.
No,
I'd like to see what our commenters think.
Trust me. Pharrell Victor might be the best player in town right now.
Wow, after riding Aaron Love's bus all year, now you're jumped over to Pharrell Victor.
Aaron Love is a poor man's Pharrell Victor, let me tell you. Pharrell Victor, he reminded me, I was at the Bone game on Thursday, he reminded me of Reggie Bullock, bro. You know, did you ever get a chance to see Reggie run?
No, I've seen him at East Carolina, but that's
he
it.
He was a professional. Mm-hmm. That kid, when he got the ball, he got to the hole so quick. He was aggressive, and he was tough to bring down. Pharrell Victor, every time the guy touches the ball, something dynamic happens. And it's to the point where you even forget that they got Hassan Henderson, who's built like a truck. He's like 6'4", 240, and he runs like a deer. He runs like a 4'6", 40. The guy's like a secondary option. It's Pharrell Victor for everybody's game plan around Pharrell. And the next thing you know, Hassan takes off. So you're telling me you got the best two players on the field, H squared and Cinco, right? Victor and Henderson.
I'll tell you this. Those guys, and I love those two guys too. I think they're great players. But when they got hit last year against Liberty, it was like they had never been hit like that all year.
I think
that was a big part of the game. They don't want to get hit like that.
Liberty is going to hit them. This is a new year, though. This is a new year. This Vegas team, I will tell you right now, is going to win the region.
All right, well, I'll be shocked. Before we move on to the next topic.
You'd be shocked.
I would be shocked if Vegas beats Liberty.
But let's Liberty.
Maybe someone
else.
No, maybe someone else can beat Liberty. Maybe someone else can beat Liberty. I just think Vegas is a terrible matchup for Liberty. I say, if that's the final.
Bro, Liberty was losing in the fourth quarter to Coronado last week.
If that is the final, I
will. Coronado!
If that's the final, I'll give you Vegas plus 7.5.
Oh, my
Book it right now. Future
gonna
odds
be a good
maker
Christmas
right here.
At the Brewer House. I will take Vegas plus 7 and on the money line.
All right. Well, but before we move on to the next topic, is there anyone we're overlooking here that not Liberty or Vegas that can get there? We should mention, we didn't mention in the opening. Basic and Del Sol are playing for the four this week. Some other good teams. Anyone else other than Vegas and Liberty that you think could surprise us?
I doubt it. I doubt it. You're right. It's got to be Vegas or Liberty.
All right. Well,
I was going to mention one other team, but
it was probably going to be DP or Del Sol. One of those two.
Listen, you just hate. I think what it is there's this. You just hate the team that's not as structured and organized as Liberty.
What? I don't think that. I don't.
You hate.
There were a lot of insults I think you were going to come up with there, and that was not one of them. So I don't even know what that means.
Well, I mean, it just at DP and Del Sol, it's kind of, you know, loosey goosey. You got, you know, one or two guys that could play. It's, you know, you got a lot of guys playing both ways. You're not doing the haka dance. I'm just don't get on this Liberty high horse, okay? Remember what happened to Arborview. I mean, when does Liberty look like, oh, God, they're great this year?
Del Sol game, I think, is when it started. And then again the next week against Basic.
They did. They killed Basic. I'll give you that.
Those 2 weeks were a pretty good stretch.
Okay. And fittingly, Del Sol and Basic are fighting for the four seed.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's move on.
Yeah, a popular topic last week that I think we should make a segment on here is when you went to the Cimarron game and you had a bunch of just random thoughts. Or random observations, you just kind of threw them out there about streakers. I don't remember what else you talked about.
The parking lot.
The parking lot.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to bring back the rant section this week, and I'm going to do one from the Gorman games. I just had so many random thoughts after this game. Since you mentioned the parking lot, I should start with parking lot. Bro, that the parking situation at Gorman is just such a nightmare.
You didn't valet? They got
valet. They had valet. Yeah. Okay, so listen, I didn't cover any games at Gorman last year. 2 years ago, I did a few, and I always parked like at that spot, like a little southeast, maybe. They have that like dirt lot, so I'm thinking, oh, I'll just park there. I show up like 35 after, so pretty early. I try to park there, no spots. I see everyone going into the neighborhood. I turn into the neighborhood, no spots. I'm driving around, can't find a spot. I'm starting to panic because it's getting late. I have to pull into the PTs. I park at the PTs, but I don't know, there's like a big tumbleweed or something. I step out of the car into the tumbleweed. I start walking. I'm walking really fast. And there's like all these needles in my shoe, like poking me in my foot. It hurts so bad. I'm behind all these Arborview students who are having a great conversation. They say, we know we're Christian, but are we Catholics? They couldn't remember what kind of church they went to. So I'm walking behind them. These needles are really starting to bug me. So I take off my shoe in the middle of the sidewalk to Gorman. I'm pulling out all this tumbleweed stuff. Everyone's
were
probably staring
bleeding?
At me, wondering what's going on. No, I actually wasn't bleeding, but it was really annoying. Get up to the stadium. I'm freaking out because the game's about to start. It's probably like 54, 55. I go up to like the press gate or whatever it is. It's closed, it looks like. Or there's a big mob of people. So I'm like, oh, I'll just walk in this gate, you know, where the players walk in the middle. Well, of course, there's a guy standing there. He goes, hey, you got to go through the VIP gate. Now, because this is high school football, I was good about it. I said, all right, whatever. If this was a college game, I would have just mouthed off to the guy so much. Because you've covered college football. If it's at a stadium you don't know, no one knows where to go, and they don't let you in any entrance. So I really wanted to mouth off to this guy. But some guy I'd seen before, so I probably shouldn't say anything to him. I turn around. It looks like they've reopened the gate, kind of. But there's some lady with a glass of wine trying to get into the game. They're trying to tell her she can't bring in her wine. So by the time I finally get in, the game's like just about to kick off. So that was my story of getting in. When it kicks off, the thing that stucks out is Gorman runs out to the same song as my alma mater, the University of Kansas, which proves to me that the entrance music has nothing to do with your performance, because Gorman, one of the best high school teams in the nation, Kansas, one of the worst college teams in the nation.
Me? What's the alma mater song?
I don't even know the title, but it's a Metallica song. And I know it's ridiculous that I don't know the title of a Metallica song, but it's the exact same song they run out to.
Okay.
How about that?
Is it every week they run out to that?
Well, at least they did this week. I don't know if they do every week. One thing that really got on my nerves, I saw three times. Look, I like Gorman's orange and blue. It looks good, especially because they have the G that kind of looks like Georgia. It makes me not think about Florida. But I'm looking over the student section, and there's like four kids with either a Florida shirt or a Florida hat. Leave your disgusting Gator gear at home. You live in Las Vegas. You go to Gorman. Don't wear Florida Gator stuff.
Can you preface the comment by saying you're a huge Georgia
fan?
Yeah,
I can't stand Florida. But still, that bugged me. Number two, I wanted to mention, I think there was an upset at Fertitta Field. I'm sitting with the cheerleaders. I somehow got in the middle of the cheerleaders at the homecoming celebration. And they're saying, oh, so-and-so or so-and-so is going to win homecoming queen. Well, it wasn't who they were saying it was. So I wanted to mention there was one upset. Congratulations to whoever won. We got a nice picture of her on the site. Which brings me to the second thing I wanted to talk about.
Second?
With homecoming. Okay. With the homecoming. What was the homecoming king? They had no homecoming king. They crowned a queen, and then it was like, get the guys back on the field.
Would you rather have no king, or would you rather have the king be on the football team and have him miss all the halftime adjustments?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is maybe they were like football candidates.
Because I think Ronnie Stanley was on the court because that's why he missed his trip to Notre Dame. Now, do you think if that guy's on the court, does he stand out there for the whole ceremony? And
well,
miss
maybe
halftime?
That's why they didn't do it. I just thought it was really weird. And this
that drives me nuts when people do that. They
miss
the halftime.
I know what you mean. Yeah, maybe okay. That is why it is. This wasn't actually part of the rant, but I'm glad you mentioned Ronnie Stanley because I was so impressed with him. I mean, we know he's like huge recruit. You know how good he is, but you know, playing offensive and defensive line is not really a glamour position, right? But I think against Arborview, I mean, the kid made it a glamour position. He made some just right, I think, Arborview's first drive when they're trying to get momentum. Stanley made a couple just beautiful tackles. He came right down the line of scrimmage and stuffed Eason or whoever it was. And then also was rushing the passer, like, in the guy's face every time. So I was really impressed with Ronnie Stanley. That's nothing new, right?
It's nothing new. I mean, the defense is new. He didn't play D until people got hurt.
Okay, well, he looked very good.
I feel bad for you for that parking thing. I mean, I always park at that grade school a few streets.
That was
back.
The thing. I tried to park there too, and there's something going on.
Oh, like
they're
that.
Like all these kids walking out with their parents and in their arms. It was ridiculous. And last thing I want to mention about the Gorman game day experience. That band, they might lack in numbers. They might not have like the numbers of a Foothill or something. But man, they did a good job. They played a really like modern set list. I got it right here. They played a Coheed and Cambria song.
Never heard of them.
A Collective Soul song.
I love Collective Soul.
And an Evanescence song, which I really don't like those last two bands at all, but it's still pretty cool. They're playing like all songs from the last 10 years. You know, this isn't like Van Halen or AC/DC like some other.
What does Evanescence sing?
I don't even want to sing it. It's terrible. It's just a female singer, but I still thought that the Gorman band did a much better job than the actual band.
Not better than when Green Valley High plays that, hey, baby. Huh?
Yeah.
That's the best.
See, that's what I mean. That stuff, they've been doing it for too long. The Gorman band was original. That's what I'm saying.
It's called tradition.
Yeah, well, I like Gorman going out there, sticking it out there.
All right, well, Case Kiefer had a lot to get off his chest. He almost got injured en route to the game, but he survived. Gorman survived. Arborview didn't. And we'll move on to the picks.
Yep, picks. I think I know who you're going here. Basic and Del Sol. This game is at Del Sol.
At Del Sol, and I'm taking the Dragons. Listen, Basic has never beat Del Sol varsity, and I think Del Sol seventh or eighth year. Three of the last five games, Del Sol's won by 1 point, including the state semifinals 3 years ago. Del Sol has knocked Basic out of the playoffs two of the last 3 years. Last year, they beat Silverado to keep Basic out of the playoffs. Oh, and Eddie Vega is injured and won't be playing for the Wolfpack. I don't know who I would have picked if Vega was playing because I do think Basic's offense is dynamic and Del Sol clearly is not lived up to my hype, but I'm taking Del Sol either way.
Yeah, you're going to be surprised by this, but I'm on Del Sol too.
Whoa!
Because, I mean, it's really unfortunate, but I think Basic's offense, I think maybe we didn't give the Vega kid enough credit all year. I mean, it's pretty, I think he's the cornerstone of their offense. I think there's so much more they can do with him. They, you know, by most accounts, I wasn't at the game, but they were kind of running the ball up and down, throwing the ball up and down, maybe I should say, against Foothill. They were up 28-7 and still up two touchdowns when Vega got hurt. And he gets hurt, and Foothill comes back and wins. I think Basic is the better team, but, I mean, without their quarterback, without their leader, and there's some eerie thing about them never beating Del Sol, and you told me that today. I think I'm going to take Del Sol in a close game.
And for Basic, what a tough cross to bear. Should have beat Foothill arguably should have beat Green Valley. Now out of the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, there's like, if they lose this game, there's like a couple inches from being in second and fifth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having a home playoff game and not. So that's pretty crazy. I'm going to go Del Sol, but could see it going either way. Next game, Liberty and Foothill. I can't believe I remembered. I looked back last year. I actually picked Foothill in this game. You remember that?
Well, here's the deal. I'm not too impressed with Liberty right now. I think struggling against Coronado is not a good thing. And I know that they tried to rest the Capelli kid a little bit. And I know that, you know, they tried some new plays to get ready for the playoffs. But I think Coronado was a lot better than people give him credit for. And
except for me.
Yeah, except for you, of course, Mr. Cougar over here. But I'm just not impressed with Coronado up front, and that's supposed to be one of Liberty's strengths. So I'm real worried about him right now. I would not be surprised if Foothill goes in there and beats him, but I'm picking Liberty.
All right, here's my thing. 2 points. Number one, I don't see how you can hold it against them that they struggled with Coronado. Who hasn't struggled with Coronado? Green Valley, and I think that's it. Everyone else has struggled with Coronado, have they not? Coronado is my...
I mean, Coronado looked like world beaters when they beat Sunrise Mountain.
World beaters.
And Shap. Come on, bro.
They were a play or two away from beating Foothill, from beating Silverado. From beating Silverado. They destroyed your Del Sol Dragons. Shut them out.
They didn't score against Silverado.
But it was 6-0, right?
7-0.
7-0, okay. Bottom line, Coronado 2012 playoff team.
Coronado's improved, no doubt about it, but we're talking Liberty here beating Vegas and Gorman, or trying to beat Gorman.
They're not beating Gorman.
Okay, but they're down in the fourth quarter against Coronado, and well, you think it's okay?
Yeah, I think it's okay, because here's the thing, and this is why I think it's really bad for Foothill. From what you've told me and from what I read about that game, Liberty came out and tried to do some different things. They tried to throw the ball. They were trying to rest Nico Capelli. I think maybe Foothill has a chance if that works, because then Liberty's thinking, oh, we can do this next game, and then Foothill's going to take advantage. Now that didn't really work, they didn't really, you know, line up and sling it around, they're going to do what they do best against Foothill, and they're going to beat them by 2 touchdowns at least.
Ground and pound. I got Liberty winning as well. For them to go far in the playoffs, they cannot wait until halftime to begin playing. I think you would agree with me that in the first half, they're awful.
Yeah, that's what I say, that they need to play like the Del Sol and basic version of Liberty. Those two games, they were great. They play like that, they're going to play Gorman.
I doubt they beat Vegas. Go ahead.
All right. Next game, Green Valley and Silverado, two of Liberty's victims that Vegas will soon be joining in that category. I've got Green Valley. It's a really disappointing year for Silverado. Of all the disappointing years they've had recently, I think this one's got to rank right up there.
Injury's not good for Silverado. Still talented. I'm a little hesitant to take Green Valley, but I'm going to play him. I know that if Green Valley wins and Liberty beats Foothill, Green Valley gets the 2 in the home playoff game. Not that they want the home playoff game, because I'd rather go to Canyon and roll the dice than playing DP at home. In my humble opinion.
All right, well, I disagree with that, too, but I've got Green Valley.
You're telling me that you'd rather play Canyon than DP?
Absolutely. DP lost to Rancho. Did Canyon lose to Rancho?
No, but DP didn't come ready to play Rancho because they're not mature enough to look past a bad team.
Do you notice your themes here? All your teams have an excuse of looking past, not being tough. Hey, we quit.
Listen,
what are all these excuses?
The big boys are going to rise up in the playoffs. Swagger and confidence prevails.
Let's talk to the coaches of some of these like undefeated, you know, top teams in town. You know, like Tony Sanchez or Darwin Rost over at Palo. Are they going to let their kids have excuses about
perennial
quitting?
There's a difference. Gorman and Palo, perennial powers.
Yeah, and they got there because the kids didn't give excuses about quitting.
Exactly.
Or
I'm talking about having one team, Desert Pines, piece it together for 1 week. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Go ahead.
Virgin Valley at Coronado. Kind of stunned you're not picking Virgin Valley here, because we know how much you dislike the Cougars.
Well, all right, listen, I'm taking it because Virgin's got to come from Mesquite. I think Coronado finally has a little momentum. Maybe the kids believe that they could do something. They probably listen to you inflate their heads and their egos. I give them the W, 13-12.
You only got them by one, So what would you make the line on this game?
Pick them.
Can that be our $5 bet?
No.
All right. Well, we're going to have to find one because I know.
I gave you the money on Arborview last week. You jumped at that. You would have put your house payment on there.
No, I wouldn't put my house payment on there. But anyway, so I've got Coronado, too. I think they win by at least a touchdown. Virgin Valley is, you know, a pretty scrappy bunch, but I think Coronado is going to win this one. Las Vegas at Canyon Springs. Guess I'd like to see what your thoughts on in this game. How much do you think Vegas wins by?
8 squared and Cinco to the rescue, baby. 42-18, Las Vegas. No chance about it.
I
think they win big, dude. You name your score. I think they're that much better than Canyon. Canyon's a great story. I like them. They're young. They've been in our top 10, which I put together. Everybody knows that all year. I think Canyon might be the team of the future. But Canyon has no quarterback. They cannot complete the ball to me to you. They play 8 kids a week at quarterback. They cannot throw. Vegas is going to bring the house on every play. DJ Pumphrey, who is, for all intents and purposes, a great running back. He is no Pharrell Victor. I tell you right now, Vegas is going to make a statement in this game to say they're ready for the playoffs. Liberty, we're going to come into your yard, baby, and get you in the finals.
Yeah, I've got Vegas, too. I think it might be closer than you say.
No way.
But, all right, well, what do you make the line? This can be our bet.
Vegas minus 19.
Yeah.
That's on the number I gave
you. You got to give me 21.
Vegas all minus right. 21.
I'll take Canyon plus 21 for $5 to try to get even. I really feel like I don't have an edge in this one. I'm kind of just gambling, but. Oh, well.
Okay. Well,
all right, I'll take Canyon plus 21. I think we agree on, like, every game this week except for maybe one. Valley and Sunrise Mountain is next. I think we agree Valley is going to get to the playoffs for the second time in 3 years.
They will. Sacrificial lambs in the first round, but they're there. Congrats.
All right. El Dorado and Rancho, finally a game that we disagree on. I just don't see Rancho losing here. I guess you must have been impressed enough with L-Dog in the cleat game that you think they can get it done.
Well, I was impressed with El Dorado in the second half of the cleat game. I'll tell you right now, Mike Williams, best defender in the Northeast. I'm pretty confident saying that. The kid is in the backfield every single play. He'll be in the backfield against Rancho. Rancho knows it needs to win. And either DP or Valley needs to lose to Shap or Sunrise Mountain, which isn't going to happen. So Rancho, I'm not saying they're not going to put their best effort forth, but I'm telling you right now, El Dorado is a real good team. The Mike Williams kid had a hurt spleen until 2 weeks ago. Their quarterback, Nick Blackman, who throws a real nice ball, had broke his arm. He missed 3 or 4 games. El Dorado's got plenty of athletes. It's their last game. They know it. They're going to come ready to play. And I think if El Dorado sticks to the script and tries to pound and ground or ground and pound, I think they win this game.
Yeah, I've got Rancho. I like some of their players. They got some good players, the Goss Gardeck kid and, you know, whoever else. I think Rancho wins this one. Bonanza at Bishop Gorman. If Bonanza wins here, it's a 3-way tie in the Southwest, right?
For first place, yes.
Does Gorman have the tiebreaker?
I would have to figure it out. I mean, like I said, calculator, Harvard math degree, and a miracle to figure out the tiebreakers. But there's no way Gorman loses to Bonanza. And the reason I say that, Bonanza, great story. Love what they've done. Still haven't seen him play, but the Doyle kid seems to be consistent. Javen Taylor, Carlos Soto, they're all playing good. Here's the deal, though. Soto and Taylor, both sophomores, both probably a little undersized. What's that tell you against Gorman?
Gonna lose.
Let me ask you this question, not to get off topic. Should have probably asked it earlier. Would you rather play Gorman early like Dio did and get the loss out of the way and then build some confidence with some wins? Or would you rather play him at the end like Bonanza's going to, build up confidence getting all the way to Gorman and then know that you're likely going to lose to Gorman and then be against the eight ball the next week on the road in the playoffs against Arborview?
No question, I would play him early. I mean, how would you not want to play him early? If you have any chance, you want him to be rusty. You don't want him to be in midseason form. You don't want your kids to be up against these just giant, great Gorman guys when, you know, they're going to get banged up. You're going to be hurt going into the biggest games of your season. I want him week one. I want him week -1. if I'm a high school football coach.
See, I'm thinking you want them where Bonanza has them because your team's clicking on all cylinders. And you go out and you get some confidence and you give them a good run for your money. I'd like to see one team come up with a good game plan to play Gorman. I mean,
you saw Armwood, I guess.
Yeah, Armwood. And by the way, Armwood's only given up like 18 points since the Gorman game. So Gorman's pretty good. But if you're Gorman, how do you beat Gorman? I mean, if you sit and you ask Tony Sanchez, Tony, how do you beat yourself? What would you do to game plan to beat Gorman? What do you think he says?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, what? They're just so well-rounded. All right, you think defensively? Are we trying to set a defensive game plan? What do you do? If you load the box, you've got just a phenomenal quarterback in Solomon. If you spread out, play nickel pack, just play a bunch of zone, then you have Shaq Powell, who's just... I mean, I don't know what you do. I think that's way too hard of a question.
I think you got to stop the run, and then you got to roll your dice with the pass. Right?
I mean, I might have said that before this last game, but this last game, Solomon was probably a better quarterback performance than almost anyone I've ever seen in high school football. He was just so on point. I mean, it was uncanny how good he looked.
Okay, well, here I think is one advantage Bonanza might have over some other teams. Their kicker could probably get the ball to the end zone, Austin Rowe. So Gorman's going to start on the 20. I think you got to bring the house on every play. You got to blitz like it's going out of style. You got to contain the run. And then just roll the dice with the pass. Have your DBs in single coverage. Hopefully, some bad throws and you get a W. You get a miracle.
Here's my bold statement of the week, and I probably shouldn't say this because then Gorman will know and they'll probably make sure it doesn't happen. I say that Bonanza keeps it closer than Arborview. That's because Gorman is going to pull their starter sooner, I think. I think that Bonanza has some athletes. I think they're going to keep it closer. That's 49 points. You buying or selling? I think they keep it closer than 49.
I don't. I think Gorman wins. I have them 60-10.
No, you have them 50, so you have them 1 point more.
Yeah, the number's 49.
I know. That's what I said, so it's close. So you're there with me. You say it could happen. I'm going to take Gorman by like 46 or 47.
I just want to know why a team can't win the coin toss, get the ball, start on their 20, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, pick up a first down. Run some clock, spend 25 seconds in the huddle, press it every play down to the clock, maybe run 6 minutes off the clock, play some field possession, get a lucky break and try to keep it close. But they go out there.
I think that's gonna be the Liberty Patriots game plan right there.
No, but they please. Listen. But everybody goes out and plays Gorman like they're playing Perump. Like, hey, let's try to run it with him. Try, maybe some reverses, some fullback dives. Got to find a way to break that. You know what I'm saying? In my humble opinion.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see when Liberty plays Gorman if they're successful employing that style. Next game, Cimarron Memorial at Sierra Vista. This is a late addition, of course, with the Western forfeitures. Sierra Vista needed a game to close their season. Cimarron is supposed to be done with their season. Now they get to play once more.
Good story. I'm glad Cimarron gets that extra game. Earlier we talked about the strength of the Northwest, and you're right, because I think Cimarron's a halfway decent team, and they're probably a lot better than a few teams in the playoffs. I give Cimarron the victory.
Yeah, I think they're better than a lot of teams in the playoffs. I think they beat a lot of them. I'm going Cimarron here, too. Perump at Spring Valley, I guess kind of a meaningless game, but... Spring Valley kind of had a down year. Perump Valley is a little bit better this year. Anyway, Perump Valley finishes the season with another upset.
They could. Crazier things have happened. I just don't see it. I got Spring Valley.
Yeah, I've got Spring Valley, too. Grizzlies close it well. Desert Oasis and Clark, another Southwest Division game.
Joke. Desert Oasis.
Yeah, Desert Oasis for me, too. Faith Lutheran and Arborview. This might have been a pretty good game last year, was it, if I remember right? I just remember Faith Lutheran got in a bunch of shootouts. I don't know if Arborview was one, but I don't think it's going to be good this year. I got Arborview big.
Well, I'm anxious to see how Arborview gets back on track. Do they have the Gorman hangover where they realize their season is kind of stuck in neutral and they're not going to go anywhere? I mean, let's be honest. They're going to beat Faith next week, or beat Faith Thursday, beat Bonanza in the first round of the playoffs, and then lose to Gorman. So they kind of know when they could plan the banquet. And I think because they have that hangover and because Faith throws the ball, And clearly Arbor wasn't good against the pass against Gorman. And they also had some hiccups against Cimarron against the pass. I think this game is closer than a lot of people take. I got Arbor winning by 24 only.
All right, yeah, that sounds about right to me. Maybe a little bit more Arbor view for me. Huge game in the Northwest, I guess, for positioning. Cheyenne at Centennial. Loser has to play Gorman in the first round. So, I mean, you don't want to lose this game. The winner is going to play Desert Oasis, and it'll be a really good game.
I mean, Cheyenne barely beat Mojave last week. Lewis was out. He was banged up. They were missing a few other players. This isn't the same Cheyenne team that was unstoppable early when they beat Legacy and Cimarron. I think, in fact, if Cheyenne played Legacy or Cimarron again, they'd probably lose. I like Centennial and Jacoby Owens.
I can't believe you only have Centennial by 8. I'm picking Centennial by more than that. I really like Centennial this week. I think they're going to get the 3, and it should be a good rematch of last year's playoffs when they play Desert Oasis.
Power. I had Centennial last year in that game, and you had Desert Oasis.
Right? Yeah, and it ended up being close, though. Palo Verde and Legacy. I guess Legacy, the last Northwest team to beat them, but I'm not seeing a repeat this year.
Neither am I. I think Palo is clicking on all cylinders. They're ready for that matchup with Gorman in the Sunset Finals.
Shadow Ridge and Mojave, I got to start with this one because you are hearing it here today. I'm picking the Rattlers. You called me a Mojave hater. I've got Mojave this week. You're only picking them by 2. I'm picking them by more than that. Give me Mojave by a touchdown.
Well, I will say that Mojave has improved. You can't debate that. They have improved. If they win, they got 2 more W's than they did in 2010, and then they get the whole offseason to get better. You know, when you get a new coach in June like they did, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot. And you know, Kiefer, you played football. You don't get better August to November. You get better December, January through when you go to camp. You're lifting. You're getting your offense put in. Your quarterback and your receivers are getting some synergy. Mojave, I don't think, has ever had that. And if they could do that this year, there's no dispute in the athletes on that team.
I think this is I agree with everything you're saying. Good step in the right direction this year for Mojave, and they're going to finish it off strong. This is actually a really big game next, Moapa Valley at Boulder City. If Boulder City could pull up the upset, every team would be 1-1. I don't think they're going to do it. I like Moapa Valley, but I will say I think Boulder City has – something's clicked here at the end of the year. They've won 2 of 3 and gave Basic all they could handle, but I've got Moapa Valley winning this one.
Who did they beat, though, in those 2 of 3?
It's not who they beat, but it's how they beat them. I mean, me and you both thought the Clark game was a toss-up and really close. They destroyed Clark. It wasn't close at all.
They did. You're
so
right.
I think that they're – here's my thing. I think if they play Virgin Valley again now, it's a really close game and could go either way. But Moapa Valley's defense is sick. We don't talk enough about. They're really shutting a lot of people down right now, and I don't think Boulder City is going to be able to move the ball well enough.
And then in favor of the Boulder City argument, I don't know if Moapa Valley has the team to really just blow somebody out. You know, I don't think they're built offensively to come back, nor are they built a rally if they need to. So I do think it's closer than a lot of folks think, but I think ultimately Moapa Valley is the state champion. It's kind of funny, like at the beginning of the year we talked – who are the teams to beat? And I know I took a lot of heat from people when in August, or the first day of September, September 1st, Palo beat Arbor. And I was like, oh, Palo just won the championship and Arbor took second in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, what do you mean? Like 4 teams haven't played a game yet, blah, blah, blah. It's just you predict this. You know what's happening.
Exactly.
I mean, nothing changes in this city.
I agree. I think it's appropriate that we're wrapping up the regular season picks with the game for you to have an opportunity to pick your Chaparral Cowboys. The problem is they're going up against one of your other favorite teams, Desert Pines.
Listen, I think Desert Pines is going to be lethal as the 3 seed case. Green Valley, get out of the way. If I was Green Valley, I'd rather lose to Silverado and roll the dice at Canyon Springs and have to play a Desert Pine team that is going to physically knock me on the ground.
I'm glad that we already have a $5 bet for next week possibly lined up. Listen in then. We'll talk hopefully Desert Pines, Green Valley. I got Desert Pines in that game against Chaparral. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.